Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am honored to be able to be your host for tonight's Tuesday night More Heart Than Mindset call, the first Tuesday of one of my favorite months of the year, June. June always represents the summer of our life in the year of our Lord, whatever year that is, which is 2015. And I know many of you are inspired to take your game, your enterprise, and yourself to the next level in this fabulous year of 2015. I have a great guest next Tuesday night, Susan Sly. For those of you who have never heard Susan, Susan is unequivocally not only one of the most exceptional women, not only one of the most exceptional entrepreneurs, but one of the most exceptional human beings that I've ever had the privilege to coach, collaborate with, mentor with, and be mentored by, because Susan is that unique woman. So for those of you who have not had the privilege of hearing Susan, she will be my guest next Tuesday night. I have had some exceptional guests this year already. Many of you heard Jennifer Trinkner a couple weeks ago. That was a fabulous interview. Jennifer is an exceptional woman and will be a guest on my call, and you'll see Jennifer speaking at some of my events in the upcoming years. Many of you have also heard Alexis Romano, C.G. Siddons this year. They will also be guests on this call, as will the great Mark Victor Hansen. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, then move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call, and then we're going to, I've got some great content for you, and then you're going to have an absolute great month to take 2015. We're almost at the halfway point, so you want to really finish strong this month. This is a keystone month in 2015. So here are a few quick announcements. I am privileged enough this Saturday to speak in beautiful Norwalk, Connecticut. I want to thank my exceptional friend, coaching client, Lori Carminucci, who consistently hosts me in Norwalk, Connecticut, 2 to 3 times a year. Lori will also be speaking on Saturday afternoon. She's an exceptional mompreneur. On Saturday, June 20th, I'll be in Spartanburg, South Carolina. This will be the second time I've been in Spartanburg. I've had the privilege of speaking in South Carolina for the last three years. Jennifer Trinkner and Bridget Bartley have consistently brought me to different cities in the South. That is a great city, a great opportunity to receive some great content. And I know Spartanburg is relatively close to Charlotte, North Carolina. Saturday, June 27th, will be my first speaking engagement in Baltimore, Maryland, in 5 years. That event's right at the hotel at the Marriott, easy access. July 11th, my first ever event, that I'll be painting myself a Birmingham. If you wonder what that means, that is one of my favorite songs by the great Tracy Lawrence. That will be Birmingham, Alabama, and a whole host of great women are hosting me. Susan Reynolds, Natalie Terrell, Lisa DeChristi, Delisa DeChristi, and it's going to be a great event, so I'm looking forward to that. First time ever in Alabama. That's one of the few states that I have not visited. That will be my first ever visit to Alabama. July 18th, I will be a guest speaker at one of Alexis Romano's events. I'm looking forward to that event. What a fabulous opportunity that is. July 25th, C.G. Siddons will be coming to Chicago, Illinois. For those of you who've seen C.G. really have her coming out party in the last 2 years, C.G. is becoming an exceptional speaker. Her company is having her speak at national events. C.G. is a seven-figure income earner by the age, right around the age of 30. So she has great content and is fabulous at social media training. August 1st, Long Island, New York. And that's become a great event. I have great reception there. Joy Schoenholtz, and I want to also thank Kelly Bartoletti for hosting me at that event. August 8th, Marina Del Rey. August 14th, I'll be hosting a Millionaire Blueprint, and that will be in San Diego, California. I just booked August 22nd. I will be in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, that's going to be very interesting. I want to have the opportunity to share the stage with Alex Morton, a seven-figure income earner before the age of 25 years old. August 29th, Portland, Oregon. Rebecca Caffiero is hosting me there and in Pleasanton, California on September 19th in one of the most beautiful cities and desirable cities to visit, Charleston, South Carolina. I also have a strong desire to be in Savannah at some point. Bridget Bartley is bringing me to Charleston, South Carolina. That will be a fabulous event. November 7th. Now, I'm about to put the tickets up for the November 7th event. I have interviewed many speakers for the one-day event that I will be hosting in Newark, New Jersey with Alexis Romano. Alexis and I will be filling the room. We also are going to have guest speaker Susan Sly is going to come from Phoenix, Arizona to speak. Now, this is a one-day event. Mark Victor Hansen will be the keynote speaker. He'll be speaking for an hour and a half after lunch. For those of you who have never had the opportunity to meet Mark, Mark is the author not only of the Chicken Soup for the Soul franchise that's worth $1,136 million in intellectual property, Mark is also the co-author of 1 Minute Millionaire series. He also wrote The Aladdin Factor. If you've never purchased that book, that is a must if you're a business owner. Mark has been a seven-figure income earner in multiple businesses. He's a very, very good friend of mine and unequivocally the king of charisma. Mark is a fabulous humanitarian. He's won the Horatio Alger Award for Humanitarian of the Year. He is a first-class human being. It's a real, real honor for me to bring someone of that magnitude for you. Mark will stay there and take pictures, sign autographs. It's going to be a fabulous event for you to meet someone that's a multi-millionaire right there up front, in close and personal. Mark also provides great content for his mega book and mega speaking seminars that he hosts in beautiful Orange County, California. Now, I've had the opportunity to speak at some of those events, and you're definitely going to want to get a ticket. For those of you who want to write books and be in the speaker platform, those are great events. That will be November 7th. I'm going to keep tickets at an all-time low. There's going to be three tiers of tickets. There will be a $20 ticket for one-day event, general admission. There will be a $47 ticket for more premium, and a $99 ticket for the first couple of rows. We have room for about 600 people, give or take, at that event. And Alexis and I are really proud to let you know. We'll give you more information about that, and I'll let you know when the tickets go on sale. That will be very soon. I'll also be hosting a Millionaire Blueprint in Dallas at the very first of 2016. A lot of exciting marketing skills tools being released with Golden Mastermind Seminars. In July, I'll be releasing my new coaching platforms and certified coaching platforms. So with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of this evening's call. I've covered this topic a few times over the years, and it is unequivocally one of my favorite topics because it has several different synonyms and meanings. I like to call it inner knowing, but I also synonymously call this or refer to this as intuition, extrasensory perception, being able to tap into the quantum field, having a better understanding of what goes on in the Akashic records, the hall of records of the universe, and really being grounded. My good friend Joe Alonzo, I have the privilege of having dinner this Saturday night in one of my favorite restaurants in Union, New Jersey, consistently asked me, that says, Jeff, cover the inner game. Inner knowing really is the inner game. Inner knowing is when you are grounded enough, you are comfortable enough, you're in a state of being where you are letting go. You're in receive mode, deserve mode, you're in trust mode, you're able to give, and you're able to do it without guilt, without anxiety, without being overwhelmed. When you arrive in this state, people begin to show up. Now, I've coached some exceptional people in my career, Mark Hoverson, Arthur Tubman, young men who went on to become seven-figure income earners, C.G. Siddons, Tara Romano, Alexis Romano, Susan Sly, Jennifer Trinkner, and any of these women and some of my clients, they will all tell you that they reach a space where people begin to show up. And that is a space that must be experienced. It can be explained, but most people have some challenges explaining it. At some point, I will ask Alexis, I'll ask Susan next week. I've asked Jennifer, what does it mean when they show up? Well, it's just like this. So whenever I travel, there's always a parking space for me up front when I dine out. I've dined in a restaurant downtown in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on six successive occasions where there's a parking space right up front, right beside the valet parking. Now, the valet did not park my car up front. There was a parking space in front before, right in front of valet parking. That is a phenomenon. That is synchronicity, synchrodestiny. That is inner knowing, that is the inner game. The inner game, I had the privilege of coaching an exceptional client, Regina Galley, tonight, and she was explaining how she let go, and I could tell that she's starting to live in that quantum field, the inner game. I've also watched her cousin, Jody Tosini, who is a Division I basketball player, walked on at University of Missouri, which I knew when I started coaching her that she had inner game skills, and I watched her over a two-year period get mentored by Alexis and myself. She started to arrive. Arrival is when you let go. When you begin to let go, and I mean really let go, it means that you stop worrying. You cease to be overwhelmed. You aren't so concerned with debt. You aren't so concerned with other outside forces. You let go of the control that you control that keeps you out of control. My exceptional client friend, Marcus Ramirez, who I am so proud of, who sent me a Facebook message today about, I asked him to take a very challenging exercise. He stood the gap and was able to do it without getting overwhelmed. He didn't second guess himself. He didn't process and overthink. And he assisted himself in that inner knowing to start to really address the cause that creates the effect of an addiction. When you stay in an overwhelmed, anxious, addicted emotional state, when you feel you have to be in control of what you can't control, you will have challenges ever letting go. And once letting go becomes a lifestyle, letting go is a skill and it's a lifestyle. It means you don't take situations personal. You don't get overwhelmed. You don't get consumed. You don't become as worried. Because you're a human being, and also a human doing at times, you're going to have many, M-I-N-I, not many. There's a difference between many and many meltdowns. And you're going to have wall-kicking moments, as Susan says. But when you can do what CG says, and that is so done with this, and you really live so done with this, see, success is a process. Not only is it a process, it's a lifestyle, and it is an attitude. And when you rest, that's success. Success doesn't show up monetarily. When you smile, that's success. When you can take defeat and look it in the eyes and realize that there's only one day in the banquet of life, and that at midnight you were granted a new bank account called time with 86,400 seconds, and you don't create situations as personal, and you're able to separate yourself from the events that created an old identity, that created an ego that kept you in control of being overwhelmed, procrastinating, getting ready to get ready, afraid you're going to make a mistake and get in trouble, then there's no way that you can ever trust your feelings. The inner game is a much slower space than you think it is. It's a space where you can bend time. Time has a different meaning. Time moves very fast, but you're in a different type of warp speed. You're not balls to the walls. You're not a top coming apart at the seams. You're not overwhelmed. You're in a very relaxed, intense state. Not so intense that you alienate people, but intensity that magnifies people and situations to a reality that you can co-create and co-collaborate with. You don't attract money, you use your ideas to create value and service. You learn to attract people to your reality that you can create results with. That is a true let-go state. But when you worry, when you say things like, I'm worried all the time, who would I be without worrying, that's your control. It's not that you control your family, but when you tell yourself you're a control freak, or when you tell yourself, of course this is going to happen to me, I'm sure you know what it's like. I get going, then all of a sudden, no, I don't want to know that anymore. That is no longer me. You are no longer the event. When you are no longer the events that shaped your addiction, then you are in addiction recovery. And when you begin to recover, your energy changes, your emotion changes. You begin to attract a different situation and people to your reality. They begin to show up. When you can address your unresolved anger, then you don't get pissed off, overwhelmed. You don't find yourself saying, I don't understand these people. I don't know why they do this. They're so annoying. You don't say these things. You understand that people are predictable. You understand that they're human doings while you're becoming a human being. When you go to the grocery store, you have a better understanding of why people do what they do. You watch how people buy unconsciously. When you really move into the inner no state, you will be attentive. You will not pay attention. You don't buy attention. You become attentive. When you become a master listener, that's inner knowing. You can practically finish people's sentences when you're that relaxed. When you can actually drop off into alpha delta state on command, because you no longer say, I toss and turn, I can't turn my brain off, my mind races. When you understand that your words are your law, you'll be much more aware of the words that you say. Your unconscious does not separate fact from fiction. Your reticular activating system, which is driven by your medulla. And when you understand how that brain mechanism works, you will spend less time trying to figure out what you don't know and living more in a place of what you do know. When you know that you know, you'll let go of what you think you don't know. You'll spend less time worrying on what is going to happen in the future, and you'll spend a lot more time in the present. When you can speak and write on command, that's when you write some of your best content. That's when you create some of your best posts, your best blogs, your best e-books. But when you speak into existence a reality that creates your disappointment, then you will be and stay disappointed. That is not inner knowing. Inner knowing is a trust state. It's an extra sensory perception. It is unequivocally this, the gift. When you live in the gift that is your gift, and you let go of waiting for someone to gift you, and if you want someone to give you attention or give you the love or give you recognition, it's going to be developed on merit. When you stop focusing on what you don't have, when you stop bitching about not about being in an inside, upside down, reverse leg where no one's giving you any love or giving you any money and no one's putting anyone in my team or this and that, well, I'll tell you this, you got nothing coming, Chief. Pony up, suit up and show up, shut up and produce. And when you learn to shut up and produce in silence and stop talking, then you'll be very skilled at asking. People ask me all the time, what do I say? What questions do I ask? What script do you use? How do I create leads? When that's how you talk, when you're in that kind of overwhelmed space, when you ask the dumb questions, you'll get the dumb questions. That doesn't mean you're dumb, but when you stop asking these analytical, egoic questions that you learned in school, when you learned at jobs, how do I get leads? How do I create leads? Where are leads? What leads should I buy? When you speak like that, that means that you're so overwhelmed, you couldn't possibly prospect a lead if it showed up ready to sign up with you. When you let go of that kind of control, when it's not only relaxing, it's releasing. You've probably been told, wow, you're really uptight if you grind your teeth at night. That's an overwhelmed state. If you wring your hands, if you worry all of the time, how am I going to pay my college loans? How am I going to do this? Oh, I'm so worried. Who would I be if I didn't worry? Some of you are shaking your heads because that used to be you. The great George Strait, one of my favorite lines in country music is this. It's about a woman that George Strait used to date. The song is, and he says, you'll see her walking down the street with the guy you used to be. It means that you outgrow your old expectations, and you reeducate your expectations, and now you're here, you are now. When you begin to show up, the people you seek show up. But if you keep wondering and worrying and trying to figure it out, then you miss out on this, repetition and experience. You require the repetition and experience. The repetition and experience is the reflex of success. The reflex of success is when you're in a no state. And when you're prospecting, speaking, communicating with people, you've got to let go of making mistakes. You're concerned about it. You're concerned about being judged. You're concerned about alienating someone. You're concerned about not only being judged, but not only making a mistake, but also offending someone. When you're concerned with that kind of identity, you'll create the very situation to fulfill your disappointment. It means you typically won't close. When you're a starter and not a finisher, then you are not trusting yourself. Now, here are some of the reasons that we do not trust. We do not trust because we've been violated, we've been abandoned, we've been neglected, we've been criticized, we've been put in a position we have to explain and validate ourselves. If you grow up with a passive-aggressive and or an aggressive parent, grandparent, brother or sister, if you grow up in a family where you were a child who came along after the first child was born, and the first child is very upset that you were born because you're going to get part of what they didn't get, and they they do things to you that aren't good, or they tease you, or they taunt you, or you grew up in the playground, you are overweight, or you made a mistake as a child, and that mistake becomes your identity, then you will have challenges trusting. And that means that you'll live in the space between fear and faith, and that place is called doubt. Now, that affects what the bullet point on my PowerPoint that I sent out on Facebook today, that is belief. One of my favorite chapters written in personal development and self-improvement was written by the great Tony Robbins in his landmark book, Awaken the Giant Within, Chapter 4, the chapter on beliefs and belief systems. Belief means a sense of certainty. And when you live in a state of uncertainty, not certain, that means you're in doubt. That's the space between fear and faith. That's why you start and don't finish, because you're not sure that you can pull it off. You're not certain that you can maintain success. You get so overwhelmed about what hasn't happened. You get so overwhelmed about how you're going to control the control that hasn't happened that you shut down. Shutting down means that in your neurological brain, you create a situation that creates a release of a steroid that becomes an adrenaline that eventually becomes cortisol. When the stress hormone kicks in, your body becomes overwhelmed. Your energy shifts from your lower abdomen up into your chest. It's similar to an outer body experience, only not quite as exaggerated. This is when you're overwhelmed, checked out, thinking, processing. Words that come out of your mouth are well. You have challenges and gaps and delays in your communication style. When you have a gap and a delay in your communication style, it means you're going in and out of your body, in and out of your brain. It means your brain is ahead of your body. You can't possibly be attentive, listening. You can't hear what's meant. You only hear what's said. And you typically miss half of a conversation because you're trying to predict how not to get in trouble, how not to make a mistake. Now, this represents a large percent of society. Those of you who have attended my events, you've seen me ask audiences, is it funny? You've seen me ask people, is it funny? Not because there's anything wrong with laughter, but a large percent of society has a checkout laugh. And when you become aware of it, when you inner know, when you really watch and are attentive, it will amaze you at how many people laugh when nothing is funny. They're not laughing out of joy. They're laughing because they're checking out. They're laughing because they're overwhelmed. They're laughing because they're anxious. When you're prospecting someone like that, that should be a signal. That should be a telegraphic message that this is an uncomfortable human doing who's going to have challenges ever succeeding in business because they're overwhelmed. If you're unorganized and you're not a detailed, methodical person, you will have challenges mastering the motion of money. You will have challenges mastering the moving parts of money. The more successful you desire to become, the more organized you must become. You cannot rebel against success and ever succeed. You can't be a nonconformist and not conform against your own system. If you're not systemized, organized, or have a method, then you will wing it. And in that wing it state, you'll be in doubt. When you let go of that control, start to have a relaxed discipline, start to have a relaxed intensity, have a better understanding of cause and effect, have a better understanding of why you do what you do, that's when you will begin to trust your feelings. When you let go of what you doubt, then you can be in trust. When you're communicating with someone, your objective is not to help that person. Your objective is, when you're communicating in business, is to find out if the person qualifies for what you market, your products, services, your opportunity to join a business, the basics. And when you're communicating with someone, you should be the one doing the asking. You should be able to create the flow in the conversation. You should be so in your own zone that you're able to adapt and adjust to whatever is handed to you, whatever is thrown to you. But if you're concerned you're going to make a mistake, if you're medicated, If you're levitated, if you're out of your body, you'll have challenges being able to master your own emotional state that will allow you to be in command of the conversation. When you try to control the conversation not to make a mistake, you'll make the mistakes before you start to fulfill the feelings of anxiety, overwhelm, abandonment, and rejection. This is the very reason that a large percent of society will attract the very situation they seek not to have happen, because it fulfills their expectations. Then they can say, I knew this would happen to me. When you say to yourself, I hope they don't ask me, there's a high probability, because you just sent a telepathic mixed message, there's a high probability that you will attract the very situation you sought not to attract to fulfill your disbelief, your overwhelmed state, and most importantly, your disappointment. That justifies your existence and fulfills your expectation. When you begin to let go and look at a situation objectively, when you let go of trying to be positive, try as tomorrow is really yesterday. Being positive is a component of success, highly overrated. When you become objective, it means you're in the middle. When you're in that space, when you can trust, when you understand, when you release, when you have a better dialogue with yourself, you start to change your dialogue with receiving, asking, deserving, and most importantly, your dialogue with transactions, your dialogue with money. When you start to understand how to create value and service, when you start to take your intellectual property to free enterprise, when you're not so consumed with the outcome. Now, having a goal is important. Having clearly defined short-term goals is important. But when you get so attached, when you get laser-visioned, when you stalk someone, chase someone, hunt them down, they typically end up avoiding you to fulfill your disappointment. The more you let go and begin to trust this, intuit, that's what intuition is. Intuit, intuition is your trust. Intuition is not a sixth sense. It's a different energy. Your extrasensory perception is a no state. Your intuition is a trust state. When you really tap into your extrasensory perception, your sixth sense, your innate ability to be able to predict, feel, sense, and know, when you know it, when you just know it, then there is no doubt. And in that space, there's no separation between you and deity, source, God, universe, infinite intelligence, whatever terms you choose. When you live in that space, your attractor factor is off the charts. This is when people show up. And it doesn't happen because you're successful. Success happens because you let go before you're successful. If you think you're going to let go when you're successful, you'll never get to success because you'll be overwhelmed trying to figure out how to let go. Letting go is not something you figure out. Letting go is a be state. When you let go of who you once were or who you were conditioned to be, and you start to reinvent the person you deserve to be, when you start to really step into your power is non-physical, it's not linear, it's not to be explained, it's a place to be experienced. Your power is when your attractor factor and your emotional vibrational energy begins to transform. It's the compounded effect. I had the opportunity to coach another exceptional business owner, Mr. Jeffrey Skolnick, who's attended several of my events. He's been coaching with me for a little under a year, and I've watched him hit the arrival state. And he said, wow, after I came to that event, I get it. And getting it, he can telecommunicate that with me. He knows I get it. I know he gets it. What he really says is he and I are now in a place where we can communicate from trust. And when you can create, when you're in trust, you'll begin to attract other people in that same kind of energy. And the communication's different. As you begin to communicate differently with your past events, when the past events become separate, as you begin to communicate differently with your unconscious, where your unconscious becomes your conscious, there is no separation between your unconscious and your conscious, that's your awareness. When you are absolutely in the zone, when you are in inner knowing, it is a very relaxed power that attracts to your reality people and situations that you can bring to you on command. It's virtually an altar call. And it's virtually like being able to sit down in a relaxed state. It's a yoga state. It's a meditational state. But you're doing it while you're awake. You don't have to sit down and chant a mantra, or you don't have to lay down on the floor to do it. When you create that kind of space in your body, and some of you on this call tonight experience it, this is the very reason that people show up. And if you're sitting there scratching your head saying, how can I do this? It's the wrong question. It's never how, it's why don't you? Why don't you let go? It's not how do you let go. Letting go can't be explained. It must be experienced. It's not a phenomenon. It's not phenomenal. It's an energetic state where you're being. When you can be you, And that means your authentic self. It's that space where there's no flaw, there's no judgment, there's no mistakes, there's no perfection. It's you. When you can, that's a glide space. It's like a horse that canters. It's not a horse in a full run. It's a very relaxed, energetic state. It has its own level of speed, and it's a type of energy that's sustainable. If you try to produce out of anger, you can do that occasionally. You can come from the by God syndrome. By God, I'm going to get to 5-star, ruby, diamond, triple lux or whatever it is, any one of those states. When you come from that I have to possess it state, it's fleeting before it starts. You might be able to grab the firefly and put it in the bottle, but the firefly will die. The objective is not to hold on to the firefly. It's to continue to attract others. When you're worried about holding success, hoarding money, when you can't let go of your possessions, you'll have challenges attracting more of what is attainable. When you learn to flourish rather than struggle, when you learn to live in the zone, the hands-free zone, then you'll continue to attract plenty. I used to say this to Alexis. Alexis, entrepreneurs always create more. When you move out of lack, when you realize that everything you have is fleeting, even though they may be your possessions can come and go. Your possessions, I know they're valuable, and that's what creates assets. But when you're not so consumed with holding on, then you are letting go. When you're in that hands-free zone, you're not so concerned, oh, my God, I just got this big check. What am I going to do with it? I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. And when you live in that space, then you've already lost what you didn't have. You can't lose what you don't have, but when you're so concerned with loss, you can't have gain. When you live in the hands-free zone, you will attract your reality, people and situations, to fulfill your goodness. When you live in the inner know state, you will continue to attract people and situations that will fulfill an energetic vibrational state that begins with awareness, joy, bliss, love, and enlightenment. When you're in that space, you don't have a conflict consciousness. There may be conflict around you. There will be drama, and there will be chaos, and there will be egos, and there will be people who think they really know what they don't know, and these are the people who are posers. Posers are people who are so consumed with being on stage that they've lost their power. They seek power, and they think by being on the stages of life that they can control people. And they typically attract weak people that they control to fulfill their low self-esteem. And then they try and fake audiences out with high self-confidence. These people typically have a lot of bluster, and they're evil, real easy to see right through. These are the people who I call posers. Posers are people who have never really built a business. These are people who know how to train and train you how to build a business. But when you start to really learn the inner game, and you learn the skills, the habits, and the mindset, you're not so concerned with being on stage, because you'll get to the stage because people recognize you're a producer. Production is always the answer to your problems. And when you become productive, resting is productive. When you can rest without tossing and turning, that's productive. When you can produce and it doesn't create the desired result and you're not concerned about it, because you know in your own goodness, in your own trust, in your inner knowing, that your result is about to happen, delayed gratification. When you're patient enough to receive delayed gratification, that's when the compounded effect starts. But when you keep saying, oh, I don't know, I might have to be going through a divorce, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen, I'm afraid I'm going to ruin my whole family. When you talk this kind of self-talk, there's no way you can let go. When you stop holding on to what you think is so valuable, then you will start to become valuable. When you try to create your value through outer sources, then you have no value. And see, if your identity is success, then if you ever lose your success, you have no identity. But when you can say, I am me, I am free, that's inner knowing. When you are in that space, then there is no loss. You cannot lose what you do not own. You may have possessions, but those possessions could come and go. But when you come from your brilliance, when you start to come from your value, your service, when you're able to come from that place, when you're able to really see who the people that you can connect, when you see that in them, when you start to attract other people that have that inner knowing space, that's when you start to attract the law of the few. The law of the few start to become the law of many. This is why some people, you'll see them, they're in a business or they're in a sport or they're in a situation, and they start to arrive at a level of emotional maturity, entrepreneurial maturity, where they start to create the compounded effect. Now, see, you may hear this new story they've created, but you don't know what someone's gone through. Everyone pays the price. The price is never paid. When you continue to pay the price of success, then you won't be so concerned with the price you paid, because the price you pay will be worth the outcome. It's the person you become that's the most valuable asset that you will create. Your outer assets that create your net worth, they're important, your portfolio, but your inner portfolio is the person you become. And that person is the person that you can reinvent over and over and over. When you learn the foundations and principles of spirituality, the foundational principles of success, when you understand the mechanisms of the brain, when you're no longer addicted to being addicted, when you're not so addicted to being recognized, then you will get recognized more because you're not concerned with being recognized. But when you're consumed with being recognized, when you try to get there before you've arrived, and that's what I see a lot of people do, they're so consumed with their success, they're so concerned with getting success that they're not able to be successful. I see so many people do this. I myself did it myself early in my career. I remember going to an Herbalife convention in 1991. I saw a young man who was in his 20s. He was dressed up like it was the era of Pearl Jam and some of the other bands in that era. Kurt Cobain was really hot, and a lot of young men in that era were dressed up like that. And I remember I was a clean-cut all-American boy right out of drug and alcohol recovery, and I was ready to change my life. I was struggling my ass off, and I did not have any instant gratification. I was able to enroll people, but I would enroll the broken souls from broken homes with broken bones that I would be fixing up that couldn't seem to make it to events, rallies, conventions. I attracted several people in my early career that would disappoint me. My law of the lid was somewhere around $4,000 to $8,000. I could never seem to get over that space in money dexterity. I would create just enough to stay in business, but not enough to have any prosperity. I wasn't able to buy a home. I wasn't able to upgrade my car. I was embarrassed about where I was in the journey after 2 or 3 years. I remember I went to a seminar, and I was very jealous about this young man who got an award. So jealous, in fact, that I let it get to me. And I went into a slump. I went into about a 60-day slump. It was the longest slump I've ever had in my sales career. And I got so upset that no one could buy from me. And I was so upset that my upline threatened to kick me out of the very office that my name was on the lease of, because she said I was a cancer to the organization. And I mean, it was a wake-up call. It was like an AA meeting where I got confronted. I felt like a victim. I went home and I had a good old-fashioned pout and brood fest. I came back the next day and I decided to let go. I realized that I was putting so much pressure on myself that no one could possibly join me. I was putting so much pressure on myself trying to get recognized that no one would recognize me. And instead of being recognized, I was jealous, envious, and overwhelmed. And the people I would attract were not the kind of people that I could ever build a team and or a business with. That was a very significant moment in my career, and relatively soon after that, I attracted the great Jerry Clark. Jerry Clark, who went on to become a self-made millionaire by the time he was 28 years old, was the first superstar I ever attracted in my circle of influence. At 23 years old, he walked into my life after answering an ad in the Oakland Tribune. He was the first person I ever enrolled that produced. I was able to get beyond being able to just sell people into the business. I started to create a culture with him. I moved to Dallas, Texas with him. And in a 9-month period in Dallas, Texas, Jerry and I put 300 people in the Adolphus Hotel for our upline. It was a significant moment in my career. It's very interesting. We never reaped the rewards of that business. That business fell apart. We ended up in Eric Worre's team with Jeff Olson and a company called The People's Network. I ended up becoming the number one income earner in her telecommunication company, whose e-commerce account got shut down. They seized $500,000 of 1 month's transactions. $28,800 of those were my commissions for 2 months that I never got paid on. I lost $50,000 that I invested in that company on my credit cards to be a founding member. And in 1995, I found myself starting over after 6 years in the industry of network marketing and direct sales, paying the dues. I was so upset that I was shut down. I went through a series of events for about 6 years, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. And you're not going to have to go through that. You're in the right place at the right time. Rock bottom is a very overrated place to find how to trust your feelings. You do not require rock bottom. You require finding your emotional state right here, right now, that says, I am enough. You require self-esteem. That's permission-based. Success won't give you self-esteem. Success will give you a little taste of victory. But if you don't have self-esteem, you'll probably lose your victory because you're not good enough. When you let go of what you think is enough and you start to feel enough, it's a feeling, that's when you can start to find your inner self. Your inner self is when you start to let go of the control that you think you control, and you let go of the teammates who aren't performing to your standards. You let go of the people who criticize you or say things to you about that aren't favorable. You let go of your family and your family members who question and wonder why you're doing what you're doing. You let go of the feelings you stuff. You realize that food isn't nearly significant, alcohol isn't nearly significant, the shiny objects that you think are going to give you the trappings of success. And I'm not suggesting that you don't deserve trips, vacations, and the good life, but when you put so much stock in that, you'll have challenges being the person you deserve to become. When you start to really become that person, that's when your attractor factor changes. When you spend less energy and less control and start to spend more time in really being who you are and who you're capable of. It's the books, the downloads, the podcasts, the CDs, but most importantly, the repetition and experience of the action. The reflexes are developed by being in the game. The inner knowing is learned by doing enough of the same situation over and over till it becomes a repetitive skill. And if you don't do enough prospecting, asking, listening, receiving, deserving, if you don't practice these skills, if you don't know how to write on command, if you don't learn Facebook and LinkedIn skills and other social media skills, if you don't pay attention when you go by billboards, if you don't start to understand sales, if you don't understand why people buy, if you don't understand predictability, then you will never be that entrepreneur, that artist, that person of influence and affluence that you so richly deserve to become. When you're so attached to success, you'll have challenges ever being. See, when most people try and do success, they try and do success, put pressure on themselves, quit a job, and oh my God, I'm in scarcity. I got to get the success thing right freaking now. And if I don't get success right now, I'm going to be a failure. I'm going to have to go back and get a job. And then my family's going to think I'm the flake that they already know them the flake. When you put that kind of pressure on yourself, you have failed before you've ever started because the kind of people you attract will not be conducive to creating any kind of sustainable culture. The culture you create is going to be a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself. When it's showtime, then you have to show up. And when you begin to show up, the people you seek show up. Now, what does showing up mean? It means it's an arrival state. You begin to arrive in a state where the slumps are infrequent, where the procrastination doesn't happen as frequently. Arrival means not only do you get it, you're being it. This is when people show up in your inboxes. People show up in referrals. When people begin to show up, it's a sign and a signal that you're arriving. But when the minute you begin to doubt what's happening, the outhouse looms. If it's the penthouse you seek to find, then you have to be right in the middle of the moment. When you become objective, rigorously honest, when you are authentic, genuine. The synonyms for means in the moment. When you're here and you're now, when you are present, when you can go to bed at night and not toss and turn, when your mind doesn't race, and you can really rest. Rest is a skill. When you learn how to rest, then you can go to bed not overwhelmed. You can wake up not overwhelmed. You're not tired. You don't subluxate your neck. You don't have low back pain when you wake up. You don't go, oh, my God, I'm exhausted. Well, you can't afford to say those kinds of terms. When you wake up exhausted, it's because you went to bed in an outer body experience. But when you continue to justify, validate, explain, create excuses, wonder why no one's giving you the love, and keep the same self-talk over and over that keeps you controlling the control that you can't control, to be out of control, the control you control, when you can let go of those situations, then you create no separation because you are here and you are now. When you're not separate from yourself, but when your head is ahead of your body. When you're out there, when you're processing, thinking, and most importantly, checked out, then you're separate. But when you're one with, when you become one with the universe, one with God, one with yourself, then your innate, that innate ability to be you starts to attract a different kind of goodness, a type of genuine person that begins to show up, someone that doesn't require training, someone that says, I found you, I'm here, I'm ready to produce. But the minute you try and talk them out of joining you, or try and talk them into being trained, or try and control them, then they disappear. When you try and manage a team, control a team, and have to be so in control and take care of everyone, you'll never attract the type of person that will produce on command. But when you have to prop people up in your business, you'll exhaust yourself being a manager. When you become a real leader, and a leader grower, and a person of influence, and you're influential, and you begin to master persuasion skills, when you're able to persuade, it's your charisma, it's your body language, it's your reflexes, and you're able to address objections in a very relaxed manner. You're right in the middle of someone's conversation. You hear what's meant, not said. You're not overwhelmed with the outcome. You're not concerned with losing someone because you don't have them to begin with. When you start to romance how good and how awesome someone's going to be, when you say, I think you'd be really good at this, you're already controlling the control that's going to keep you out of control. You have no idea who's going to be good at this. When you put that kind of pressure on them and pressure on yourself, and pressure is an illusion, you're not under any pressure. When you look up in the ceiling, there is no pressure. But when you meet people where they are, when you understand people, then you will be in less conflict. If you have a conflict consciousness, it's just like a prosperity consciousness, only it's the reverse. When you're in prosperity, when you have a prosperity consciousness, that's not necessarily a money consciousness. That means you're in the flow. Prosperity means prospero in Latin, i.e. in the flow. When you're in that kind of hands-free zone, then you're going to create people and situations to fulfill your prosperity. But when you're in conflict, when you have a conflict consciousness, then you'll marry and date people that'll keep you out of alignment with your higher self. You'll live in a lower self and anxiety, which is anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. And then you'll vibrate your energy in anxiety, fear, and doubt. When you're in that kind of energy, you'll attract the people to fulfill your expectations. As you begin to re-educate your expectations, as you start to learn a different set of skills, as you communicate with yourself, see if you can go one whole day without saying need. See if you can go one whole day without saying guess. See, you can go one whole day without saying, I don't know. These are the typical terms that many people say well into the 100 times a day, and then they wonder why their attractor factor does not attract the type of person that they can collaborate with. For those of you who have coached with me, you know I'll ask you this many times. See if you can go the next 47 minutes without saying need. See if you can go the next 13 minutes without saying the word guess. And I'll say this all the time. When you end sentences with, I don't know. Most people don't even know they're ending a sentence by saying, I don't know. But since you do know, and when you live more and when you do know, if you did know what you know, and you trust what you know, then you'd be in trust. Know is when you come from a no, I know what I know, then you don't have any doubt. Then there's no separation between your body, your higher self, and deity and source. And when you're in that space, that's called enlightenment. When you live in a very enlightened space, when you are walking through life in a very relaxed, energetic space, unconsumed with problems, when you're not plugging into CNN, when you're not getting overwhelmed with the agenda, when you're not so consumed with all the conspiracies that you have no control over. When you start to be here and right here and right now, you don't have to lift a rifle to create change. To become an agent of change, change your words, change your life. Your words will dictate your reality. Your words will dictate your outcome. Your words will dictate what you attract. When you start to be really clear on who it is you deserve to attract, not who you need, who you deserve to attract, who you require to have in your circle of influence, who you are capable of attracting. But when you say, I'm not sure if I can attract people up there, I'm like, where is up there? Is that Vesuvius? Is that a mountaintop in Greece? Is that a place where you go to see the oracle? Is that way up there, or are you right here? When you are grounded, then when you are in the zone, when you are here and you are now, then your attractor factor changes. That's when people begin to show up. It's magnetism. It's centrifugal force. It's the compounded effect. It's your writing style, your speaking style. You begin to communicate in shorter sentences. You're able to communicate with someone in a paragraph. You tell less stories. You let go of validating, justifying, and explaining yourself. You become independent, not codependent. Your self-esteem does not rely on fixing someone else up. When you're codependent and you're addicted codependent, it means that you require someone else to enable. And when you attract a team that you enable, then you don't really have a team, you have a nursery school. And when you're in that kind of situation, and you have to be the issue, the man, the woman, you have to be the trainer, then you create a team that's mentor dependent. One of the greatest assets that you will see these three women, Jennifer Trinkner, Alexis Romano, Susan Sly, you will see that they create is they create independence. My client Arthur Tubman, who's unequivocally one of the most exceptional internet marketers I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with, he's completely independent of other people. He's able to create on command value and service through some of his training programs, through his intellectual property. And this is why he's able to have multiple six-figure months because of how he's created independence. You can't be independent when you're dependent. When you need someone, when you are needy, when you come from that space, then you are codependent. When you come from a situation as a child where you were put in a position that you had to be a grown-up before your time, there's a high probability that you're still living in that identity. As you begin to change your expectations and re-educate those, then you can move into a much more relaxed state where there's very little guilt. Guilt is the biggest deterrent to attracting people that you can collaborate with. When you are guilted by relatives and you still live around these relatives that guilt you and then you resent them but you're too guilty to move out of that space, then you'll continue to stuff your feelings with food, compulsive spending, alcohol to justify being in control. And when you have to control your guilt and control your resentment, then you're overwhelmed. And if you're going, oh, my God, you're talking about me, I am. That is you. That is a large percent of society stuck in guilt and resentment, too guilty to let go and too resentful to confront the situation. Confrontation is a skill. When you learn how to confront diplomatically, then you're not going off on people. You're not coming from anger. You're coming from peace. When you can confront from peace, then you can address objections. That's what's required when you're to prospect. You have to be able to prospect in a relaxed state. And when you encounter objections, you have to be able to confront the objection. You do that by asking a question. When you start to understand how simple that is, how easy that is, how in the zone that is, how in the flow that is, then you won't get so overwhelmed at the possibility of being rejected. And when you're able to let go of making a mistake or losing someone, that's when you can become a master asker. That comes from the repetition and the experience, the relaxed dexterity, the ability to ask questions in a sequence effortlessly. Many people go, can you tell me the sequence of the questions? It's not the sequence of the questions. It's being able to ask the questions based on the answer. You want to be able to create a flow to the questions. The questions that you ask yourself will be the questions that empower you. When you continue to hold on to how do I, then you will continue to stay in your analytical, egoic mind. When you let go of being in your mind and begin to live in your body, then you begin to attract to your reality a different type of person, situation, that you can be able to be in command a lot more frequently. That's when people begin to show up. This is when you start to attract people who are much more responsive rather than people who are reactive. You begin to attract, in the law of the few and the law of large numbers, you begin to attract the law of the few. You begin to attract people who are self-reliant. You're able to attract people who are multitaskers. You're able to attract people who have multiple streams of income. You're able to attract people who have multiple skills. They're not only multitaskers, they're self-reliant. They're able to do situations on their own. You spend a lot less time with these people, and you get compensated differently because they are producers. But when you attract people who are procrastinators, addicted dieters, people who are overwhelmed, and people who require being enabled, then you're going to be very disappointed. You'll get exhausted. You'll spend too much time with the wrong people. There's a high probability you'll quit because you'll get discouraged, that means not of courage, and you'll never reach the land of promise. If your desire is to live the good life, then it begins with the decisions and commitments you create one day at a time. What you do one day at a time, what you do daily, is compound. When you start to practice some of the simple disciplines, as strange as it sounds, like making your bed, being able to have a system to live in, having dedicated blocks of time. But if you think you can build a business in between the cracks and just wing it, well, you might be able to do that short term, but you're eventually going to have to quit your job. Then when you go home, you're going to have a challenge initially because it's going to be unfamiliar. You have to be able to let go of the unfamiliarity and learn how to build a business one day at a time over a long career. It's not a race. It's a process, and the more you understand the process of transformation, the process of success, the less time you'll spend being overwhelmed. But when you're overwhelmed, then you're in an outer body experience, and you're not in inner knowing. Inner knowing is when you really begin to trust. You live in a belief that says, I'm certain. You live in a belief that says, I know. How do you get there? One day at a time. Let go of how long you think it's going to take. Let go of how arduous and hard and difficult. Realize what you're doing is new. Stop struggling and start producing. The answer to your problems are always going to be in your mirror. And if you have no one in your team, you're not in the perfect business, if you're not getting the love or the support from the person that you should be getting it from, let go of it. You're in the right place at the right time. Recognize it. Shut up and produce. What does that actually mean? It means that you start to silence your inner critic. You let go of what you don't have. You let go of who's not giving you the love, and you start to give yourself the love. You start to realize that you are good enough, and you give yourself permission one day at a time to turn off the chatter. You turn off your inner critic. You let go of your desire to be in control. You let go of some of your feelings that you stuff, and you become much more aware. You start to master the skills, habits, and mindset. You start to be attentive. When you go to an event, you're not just going to the event for fun, although fun is a huge part of any event. You should have fun at an event. It's a big component of success. But you also should be there not to get educated, but to not for the knowledge, but to be able to apply the knowledge. Knowledge without application is a wish. And if you think you're going to wish yourself to success, it is not going to happen. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call is officially a call. It has been recorded. Will be available for playback at calls.goldenmastermind.com tomorrow at 12 Eastern Standard Time, 9 Pacific. Next Tuesday night, June 9th, 1 week from tonight, Susan Sly will be my guest on tonight's call. Susan Sly has been on my call more than any other entrepreneur in the last 18 years. Thank you very much for being on tonight's call. I look forward to connecting with many of you this Saturday, June 6th, in Norwalk, Connecticut. Have a great month of June, everyone. Good night.